my heart this message of growing through trials, because I believe that's what God intends for us to do. God intends for all of us as Christians to grow, and some of that growth is going to take place through trials. And so I want us to understand that tonight. And what I want to deal with tonight is just simply this: are you willing to surrender your life totally to God so that He can grow you into what He would have for you to be, even if that involves trials and suffering? And so that's what we're going to deal with tonight. So I want to take a look at just these few verses here tonight and just give us the thought. And you know, Peter, if we look at Peter's life, Peter endured many trials of his own. We'll get to some of those as we deal with the topic tonight. But I want to begin right here in verse number 6. And we'll put verse number 6 and verse number 7 together, because the first thing I see is this: that in order for us to grow through trials, there are some specific things that are required for us to do if we are willing to grow. Now, you don't have to grow through trials. Trials can, I've kind of heard it said this way many times, that trials can do one of two things. They can make you bitter, or they can make you better. And so you have a responsibility in trials and how you respond. And that's going to determine whether you grow as a result, or whether you become bitter, whether you become angry at God, and you get away from God as a result of trials. That's not what God intends. God does not send trials our way, does not allow trials to come into our life so that He can harm us, so that He would hurt us, so that He would destroy us, so that He would bring destruction into our lives. He brings those trials into our life in order that we may draw closer to Him. That's His desire, and that's what we find here in these verses of Scripture. So first of all, let's begin reading again in verse number 6, and we're just going to read these first couple of verses, because the first thing I see that's necessary here, if we're going to grow through the trials that God allows to come into our life, is an unconditional surrender to God. And we see that here in verse number 6. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." And really, all that's talking about, the word humble, we know it just means to be made low. And really what this verse is saying is this, is that we need to take ourselves and place ourselves below God and allow Him to have the authority in our lives. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I hope every one of us tonight understand the fact that when you gave your life to Christ, when you trusted Christ as Savior, you made a decision to allow God access to your life. You made God Lord of your life. Hopefully that was the case for you when you trusted Christ as Savior. And when you did that, you allow now the hand of God to work in your life. But God will not force Himself upon you. God will not forcibly cause you to do something, but His hand will be at work in your life. The question is, will you humble yourself and allow God to work? That's one of the keys that you'll understand as we go through this passage of Scripture. One of the keys to growing through trials is us allowing God to work. God wants to do something in our lives through trials. And every one of us tonight, we could think of probably every single individual here has a burden to bear. Some much worse than others. Some, maybe you're coming out of a trial. Maybe you're going into a trial. Maybe you're right now find yourself in the midst of maybe one of the worst trials of your life. And probably no one knows. You know, we as Christians are very good at being able to put on a smile and to come in and not allow anybody else to know what's going on in our lives. But the fact is this, in a number of folks this size, there are multiple people that are here tonight, and they are battling, they're dealing with a severe trial in their life, an extreme trial, something that maybe Peter would call a fiery trial in their life. And they're dealing with that right now. But the question is, will we allow God to work when those trials come in our lives? Every one of us can look back probably even and see the trials that God has worked and allowed to come into our life and see the results of those trials as we responded. If we allowed God to work in our life, we can look back and see the fruit of those trials and how God increased our faith, how God grew us, how God strengthened us through the midst of those trials. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. But the first thing you've got to do is allow God to work. So it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And so I think about that, and I can't help but think about the example that Peter had personally. You know, the thing is, we look at Peter a lot of times and we look at his failures. We've talked about this in a message prior about him walking on the water, but he was the only one willing to get out of the boat. But we look at that and we see his failure as he began to sink and the Lord had to reach out and save him. But the other thing that most often we talk about Peter is Peter when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think about that, and I can't help but think about that. And one thing that occurs to me is this, that We don't see that any of the other disciples faced that. This was a trial that was peculiar to Peter. It was specific. It was tailor-made for Peter. And we see that, and we need to understand that fact, that that's exactly what God does, is God allows the trials into our life that are specifically tailored for you and for me. You will not probably face some of the trials that I will face. And I will not probably face some of the trials that you will face. But God will allow trials to come in every one of our lives. And I want you to understand something tonight. When I'm talking about a trial tonight, a testing, I'm not talking about those times in our life that we can look back on and say, well, I just really made a boneheaded decision there, and now I'm dealing with the consequences. Now, God will be with us in the midst of those as we repent, ask His forgiveness, and God will guide us, but we will still deal with the consequences of those actions. But what I'm talking about tonight are just those general trials of life that come, and we didn't do anything necessarily to bring them about, but here we find ourselves in the midst of those trials. And that's where Peter found himself as he had followed the Lord afar off. In fact, I was reading today in the book of the Gospel of Matthew, and it talked about how that all of the disciples forsook the Lord. But yet Peter was following afar off. So at least he was still following. He may have been following now afar off, but he was at least still following. But we see that for some reason, God allowed Peter to go through this specific trial. And so he finds himself, he's here, he's warming himself by the fire as the Lord Jesus Christ is being taken into a mock trial. And now someone approaches him and says, Peter, weren't you one of his disciples? And now Peter's on the spot. He's in the middle of the test. He's in the middle of the trial. He finds himself now, the trial, as they often do, comes, and Peter was not prepared. Peter was not expecting this. This was the last thing. Because you know Peter and the boldness of Peter and how many times Peter had spoke before this time. How that Peter said, look, Lord, I'll go even unto death. I would never even dream of denying you. But now he's put to the test. Isn't that how it happens for us sometimes? We think, Lord, I would never do that. And then it's as though God says, really? Let's put it to the test. And so we see that happen now in Peter's life. And I honestly believe this was a trial that was tailor-made for the Apostle Peter. Because we see that after he denies the Lord that third time, something spectacular happens just a little while later in Peter's life. He sees the resurrected Lord, and the Lord asks him specifically three times, Peter, lovest thou me? No doubt echoing the three times that Peter had denied him. But we also find just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, we find Peter standing and preaching on the day of Pentecost and thousands being saved. And so something happened. If you'll study the life of Peter, this trial did something in Peter's life. It made a difference. Peter was not the man that he once was after he came out of this trial. Something had changed. Up to this point, it seems as though Peter had great confidence in his flesh. He was often the one that would mouth off and boasting and that would do those things. And he was a brash person. But then after this trial that Peter has experienced now, it's as though Peter says, you know what, I wasn't what I thought I was. And often that's what happens in trials. God reveals to us, hey, you're not as strong as you thought you were. And that's what God wants to do because He says, hey, you don't need to be strong. Peter, you don't need to be bold. All I need is for you to trust me and lean upon my strength because I've got the strength that you need. And we find that's exactly what happened to Peter because the reason I say all of this is we look at this verse and Peter was willing after this trial to humble himself before God in repentance. And as he humbled himself before God, the result of that was this, that God exalted him in due time. Now he's the one that's standing on the day of Pentecost and preaching as thousands are saved. So he was willing to humble himself that God might exalt him. And friend, that's what God's asking of you and I. Now I don't know for you what that exalting looks like, but I can guarantee you this, God does not lie. In fact, the Scripture tells us God cannot lie. And so this word is still true today. If you will humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, allow the hand of God to work in your life, God will exalt you in due time. Now, He may not exalt you in your timing, but He will exalt you in due timing, in His timing. And so then we go on from there. And so we think about yielding our life to Him, and we think about that as yielding our actions and yielding all those things. But I thought about this evening as I was studying, and we've got to yield more than just our actions, because the next verse says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So we've also got to give Him over our anxieties. Not just our actions, but our anxieties. Those things that would hinder us. Those things that are a burden to us. Those things that we're carrying, that we're so concerned about. We're worrying ourselves to death over, and we're so anxious about these things. We've got to give those over to God and understand that He does care for us. There's many times in our lives, probably when we come to the midst of a trial and we look around and we wonder, does anyone care? Hey, if you're here tonight and you're a believer, you're a child of God, and you can say without a doubt, He careth for you. And He cares for you more than anybody cares for you. In fact, He cared for you so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that you could have a relationship with Him. But He cares for you. And what I want you to understand tonight, if you're going to go through trials, you've got to come to a place where you're willing to trust God with your anxieties. All of those things right now, I'll tell you, probably one of the greatest hindrances to many Christians living for God and living for the Lord is just worry and fear. We're worried about what tomorrow holds. We're worried about how this situation is going to turn out. We're worried about how someone's going to respond. We're worried about all these different things. And yet, the Bible tells us plainly that who can any one of us add even just a little bit to our stature? Not a one of us can, right? So, hey, we have to just learn that to trust God. We read over in Scripture how that He talks about it, and He says that the two sparrows are sold for a farthing, and God does not forget about them. But then He says this, He says, you are of much more value than the sparrows. And so, understand tonight that God values you. God cares so much for you, and His desire is that you would take those cares, those anxieties, those worries that are hindering your relationship with the Lord, and that you would just trust God with them. Now, I know tonight every one of us has worries, has cares, and it's probably not feasible that we're ever going to be 100% carefree. But I'll tell you, the moment those cares begin to hinder our relationship to the Lord, begin to hinder our service to the Lord, and we're more concerned about these anxieties and these fears and these worries about the trials that we're going through than we are about serving God and maintaining our relationship to Him. Friend, that's when we need to cast those cares upon Him. Friend, when the burden becomes too heavy for you to bear, you don't have to fall under that burden. Just give it to Him. His desire is that you would let Him carry it. He wants to be the one that carries those burdens, those anxieties. Just understand that you can fully trust Him. That's why I say tonight, unconditional surrender. We've got to just be willing to come to God with no conditions and say, God, I'm going to trust that what You're doing in the midst of all of this, in the midst of these circumstances that I don't understand, I don't know why I'm facing this, I don't know why I'm going through this, but in the midst of it all, I'm making a conscious choice to just trust You with it. Lord, knowing that I'm Your child and I can trust You. When we think about the relationship between a father and a child, and I'll tell you this, I would never allow my children to go through something just for their harm. If I allow them to go through something, it's to teach them, it's to grow them, it's to strengthen them. And friend, our Heavenly Father is much greater. And He loves us much more than I could ever love my children. So we can trust God with all of those cares, all of those things, whatever the trial that you're facing. Just understand, you can trust God, and He wants to take that. And He wants to get you to the place where that you can have that peace and that joy that you once knew that maybe has been taken from you through the midst of this trial. God wants to restore that to you if you'll but cast your care upon Him, because He does care for you. So the first thing I see that's required is an unconditional surrender to God. But now notice this second thing, because we read these verses in verse 8 and verse 9. A lot of times we read these and we just read those verses alone. We quote them and we think about them, but we don't think about them in the context which they're mentioned. Because immediately following, Peter writes, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Immediately after that, he says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the face, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so the second thing I see this, if we're to grow through trials as God wants us to grow, if we are to come to that place where we allow God's hand to work in such a way that trials are to our benefit, we have to have an unwavering resistance to Satan. Because, friend, let me tell you this, for most folks tonight that are sitting home that used to be in church, most folks tonight that are sitting home and their relationship to God is all but gone, yet they can remember back to those days when they used to walk with the Lord, when they used to attend church faithfully, when they used to faithfully serve the Lord. Most of those folks that are sitting home tonight, it's a result of some trial that they face. And they didn't guard against this very thing that Peter's giving us caution right here in this Scripture. Because immediately after casting your care upon Him, He goes directly to and He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Friend, what he's saying here is this, that as you enter into those trials and you have the cares and the struggles of life, that's the perfect opportunity for Satan to creep in. You know what happens most of the time when we go through trials? This is what goes on in our mind. We think about this and we're going through a trial and we look around and we say, "What? Why is this happening?" And then you know what happens? The devil whispers, "You know, I told you all along God didn't love you. Hey, I told you all along those folks over at the church, they didn't care about you. I told you all along this thing wasn't real anyhow. You just go back to your old life. Just forget about all of this religious nonsense." Hey, that's what happens for just about every one of us when we face real trials in our lives. We question. And that's the devil at work in our lives. The devil wants is just seeking. We see here that lion. And you know, if you've ever watched those National Geographic programs, you watch how lions hunt. And they're always just looking. They're looking, prowling about, and then all of a sudden they spot a weakness. They say, right there, hey, that's the one. Go after that one. And hey, that's exactly what the devil's doing tonight. He's walking about to and fro as that roaring lion, and he's just looking into our lives, and he says, oh, they're going through a trial. Here's my opportunity. Here's my chance. Because tonight, let me tell you this, there's nothing tonight, if you have truly placed your faith in Jesus Christ, there's not a single thing the devil can do to take that away from you tonight. If you've ever been saved, you are saved for all eternity. But the simple fact is this, Satan knows he can't get your salvation, but he says, hey, I'll take the next best thing, which is your testimony. He says, hey, let me wait until they're going through something. And then as soon as they start going through something, I'll whisper in their ear, hey, God doesn't love you. Those people at the church, they don't really care. Hey, how many folks have dropped out of church because something happened that nobody even knew about, and then someone got upset because nobody called? The pastor didn't come by and visit. And hey, they're sitting at home tonight and their relationship with God is in shambles because the devil found an inroad. He found a way in. He found a way to impact their life. And now, I just can't help but wonder tonight how many folks are unsaved tonight because of this very thing. Somebody's going through a trial and the devil came in and found that little spot of weakness and caused somebody to fall, caused somebody to step away from church, get out of serving God, get away from ministry. Hey, you hear it all the time of even pastors and others who drop out of the ministry because of a trial that's come in their life. And I can't help but wonder tonight how many are left unsaved, unreached because of those very things. And that's what the devil wants. That's his goal. His goal is, hey, when they go through the midst of trials, that's when I'm going to go after them. This is their moment of weakness. And if I can just get them to maybe miss church this week, maybe not serve God, because let me tell you this, it's hard to serve God when you're in the midst of a trial. But I'll tell you this, it's the greatest decision you can make. Friend, when you're in the midst of a trial, it is not the time to scale back your walk with the Lord. It is not the time to step away from your ministry to the Lord and to others. It's not the time to stop reading your Bible and stop praying. It's the time to increase all of those things. And that's what God wants us to do. But so many folks, when they find themselves in the midst of a trial, they start backing up. They say, well, I don't know if I can still teach my Sunday school class after all I've been through this week. And then the next Sunday, well, I don't know if I can go to church this week after all I've went through this week. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Because before you know it, you've missed 2 or 3 weeks. And now you wonder, what's everybody going to think when I go back? And now you make the decision, I'll just stay home. And now Satan's got exactly what he wanted. Friend, tonight, let me encourage you in this. Don't give him the satisfaction of getting an advantage in your life through the midst of trials. That's exactly what he wants. So listen to the advice that Peter gives us here. First of all, be sober, be vigilant. Hey, the first thing is this, just be aware. Hey, when you go out, I can guarantee you this, if you go out on a safari in the wilderness over there in the country of Africa where the lions roam, those guys are going to tell you, hey, when we're out here, you better be watching. You better be aware of your surroundings because there's dangerous animals out here. And that's pretty much what Peter's telling us tonight. Hey, when you're in the midst of a trial, when you're going through something, keep your eyes open. Keep yourself aware. Don't allow Satan to come in and get the advantage over you. So he says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's just out to destroy everything that you've worked so hard for. Hey, there's so many Christians that they've grown and they've grown and they've grown. And then now, as they continue to grow, God allows trials to come so that He can strengthen them and take them to that next position where He wants to bless them and where He wants to grow them even more. But then the devil gets the advantage. And now everything they've worked for, everything they've built. Hey, I can't tell you how many folks I've talked to, counseled with, whose testimony's been ruined. Just a moment of weakness. And the devil took advantage. And now, sure, they can still serve God, but not in the position they once could. Hey, all that testimony, all those years that they had built up and that testimony they had for the Lord is gone in an instant. And friend, that's what the devil wants to do to you and me. So understand, you will go through trials, but when you're in the midst of that trial, keep your eyes open, be aware. Understand, this is the time when Satan attacks. Hey, Satan doesn't generally attack us when we're on the mountaintop. He attacks when we're in the valley. And so he says, now in verse 9, here's the advice that Peter gives us, whom resist steadfast in the faith. I think those last three words of that sentence are important. Resist steadfast in the faith. Friend, let me go ahead and let you in on something. You and I, on our own, have absolutely no hope in resisting the devil. He's got several thousand years experience on you and me. Friend, he knows how this thing works and he knows how to get advantage over you and me. But, he says, resist steadfast in the faith. Hey, just lean on the Lord. Just trust in the Lord and resist it through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of God that works within you and me. So he says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren there in the world. Hey, take comfort from knowing this fact. Others have been where you stand, and others have come through with victory on the other side. Hey, how many times do we ask ourselves, why me? Hey, what we really ought to be asking ourselves is, why not me? Hey, I'll tell you this, I watch and I've seen some of the greatest Christians I've ever seen have experienced some of the greatest trials man has ever known. Hey, the same is true in Scripture. Read the history of so many of these great men and women that are recorded here for us in the pages of Scripture, and just about everyone that did anything for God went through great affliction and great trial and suffering. And I can't help but think about in this moment about Joseph and all that Joseph went through. But the one thing you find at every point in Joseph's life was this, and the Lord was with Joseph. Hey, when Joseph found himself in the midst of that pit, the Lord was with Joseph. When Joseph found himself over at Potiphar's house, wrongly accused and thrown in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And then even when finally Hey, what another great example of someone who humbled themselves under the hand of God and then finally was exalted. And he found himself lifted up to even just about to the position of the Pharaoh of the land. Second in command in Egypt. God exalted him in due time. So friend, I'm going to tell you, we need to let God work in our life. We need to unconditionally surrender to Him. But we've got to have an unwavering resistance to the devil in the midst of our trials if we want to grow through trials. Satan will take every opportunity to make you bitter, to make you angry, to get you frustrated, to begin to question God. I can't tell you the amount of folks I've come across in these few years of ministry that have come to a point of nearly quitting on God because of a trial that came into their life that they didn't understand. They questioned God, and some of them today are sitting at home. But then I've seen others who, in the midst of the trial, have drawn closer to the Lord. They've resisted that bitterness and that anger that Satan desired to send their way, and instead they've just leaned upon the Lord, trusted His hand, and came through the other side victorious. So now let's close out with this last thought. So we see we need an unconditional surrender to God. We need an unwavering resistance to the devil. But last of all is this, we need an unfailing faith that God is the one that's working in our life. We need to be confident of that very fact tonight, that when God sends a trial, it's for our benefit. When God allows a trial to come into our life, we looked at on Sunday morning in Sunday school, we looked at the book of Job, and we see how that nothing that happened to Job would have happened were it not for God permitting it. Let me tell you tonight, the same is true in your life. God cares no less for you than He did for Job. He cares just as much. And tonight, any trial that comes into your life, it would not be there were it not for God allowing it. So friend, tonight I want us to be encouraged in this. Notice these last couple of verses. It says this, "But the God of all grace..." Hey, what a great way to start these next couple of verses. "The God of all grace..." That's God's unmerited favor towards us. "The God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus..." Notice this, He says, "After that ye have suffered a while..." Listen, "He will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." These are the things that God's trying to accomplish in your life through these trials that He allows to come. He says, it says this, "He will let you suffer for a while." Hey, don't forget though that while you're suffering, He's there with you in the midst of the suffering. He does not leave you nor forsake you, even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the suffering, even in the midst of the affliction that you're dealing with. He does not leave your side. But He says this, that after you have suffered a while, He'll make you. And that we could stop right there. That's just think of that thought. He, God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, will make you. That means He's shaping you into exactly what He wants you to be. But I see these few words here, and we'll just take just a moment with each one tonight, because these are the things that God's trying to accomplish in your life when He allows trials to come. First of all, it says that He will make you perfect. Hey, I hope that you understand in Scripture the word perfect does not mean sinless. Hey, God's not going to ever make you sinless, because you and I still have that sin nature. In fact, John says that if we say we have no sin, we're liars. So friend, that's not what this is talking about. That word perfect just simply means complete or mature. I don't know, but I don't think that I've ever met a mature Christian who hadn't experienced some great trials in their life. Friend, that's what grows a Christian. That's what makes a Christian mature, is those trials and trusting God in the midst of those trials and coming out the other side and looking back and seeing that God was with them through it all, and then also seeing the fact of, look at what God did through the midst of that trial, and look at the results that God brought in my life as a result of the trial. Friends, sometimes God allows us to go through things so that we can be a help to others. I think about in my life, probably one of the greatest trials was my parents going through divorce. I was a child, and my parents, they had argued, and they would fuss and fight a little bit. It was never anything physical, but my sister and I, we always just assumed that everything was really okay. Never for a moment did we think that one day our parents would sit us down and say, hey, look, we're not going to be together anymore. We're going our separate ways. Mom's moving out. Dad's going to stay here. And hey, I was about 8 or 9 years old, and it devastated me. One of the greatest trials I've ever experienced in my life. That's why I told my wife, I told her I'll kill her. I'll spend the rest of my life in prison if she ever mentions divorce. And you think I'm joking, but I've seen so much of divorce and how it ruins lives. I've seen too many times how it just, what the impact it has on everybody that's involved. Parents make that decision. They never contemplate how it's going to affect the kids. They don't think about what the future looks like. And my sister and I going from one place to the other a week at a time. I was a week with Mom, a week with Dad, every week to pack up everything I own and take it to my dad's house. And then the next week just to pack it up again, take it back over here to my mom's house, and back and forth for years. I mean, you talk about a trial. And at the time I wondered, God, why me? Why did it have to be my parents? And at the time my faith was weak. And I'll be honest with you, I got bitter against God. Much of the results that came later on in my teenage years were a result of this moment right here. When the trial came in my life. And I was saved at that point. But I wasn't really grounded in my faith. Didn't have a good church. Didn't have that foundation that I needed to stand strong in the midst of the trial. And as a result, I became bitter against God. I allowed Satan to come in and convince me, hey, God doesn't care. He wouldn't have allowed this to happen. And I asked myself, why me? Later on in my teenage years, that bitterness bore fruit as I ended up living a carnal life, getting out of church, walking away from God for a period of time. And friend, all of that, I can trace it directly back to that trial in my life. But now I look back on that trial, even though having not responded like I should have, but God allowed that trial. And now I can't tell you the number of times I've sat down at a youth camp. I remember specifically the first camp I worked in North Carolina, working with young people. And I'd sit down each night at the end of the table. We would serve the kids there at the tables and just pass the food down the line. And each night I kind of made it a point to sit at a different table at the end of the table. And I'd just sit down and I'd strike up a conversation with those kids. And I can't tell you how just about every single one that I talked to came from a broken home. And I was able to sit there and say, I know what that's like. Hey, I understand what you're going through. Hey, let me tell you, you can still serve God anyhow. Let me tell you, God still loves you. Don't get the idea that He doesn't. God can still use you. God still wants to be with you. God wants to bless your life. And hey, don't take that and get bitter on God because of what's happened in your life. And hey, countless times down, even since, I've got to talk to young people and others, even adults, and talk to them and counsel them and tell them what I've experienced, and I know firsthand the perils of those things. And God used it for good. I have no doubt I wouldn't have been able to comfort some of those who I've been able to comfort. I wouldn't have been able to offer counsel to some of those who I was able to offer counsel to had it not been that I'd went through that trial of my own. And also think about this. Had that trial not come into my life, I wonder what my views would have been on divorce. So I would have stood as strong as I stand today on divorce. And if I would have been so committed to my wife like I am now, and just knowing we're going to spend the rest of our lives together and there's nothing going to change that. I don't care what the devil sends my way. I don't care what comes into our lives. We're going to stick through it. And we're going to come through the other side. But I think about that, and I think about how we need to have an unwavering, that unfailing faith that God's at work. Hey, when we're in the midst of a trial, I hope that you can know this, that God wants to do something. God wants to use it. There's no trial. Don't let a trial come into your life and let it be for nothing. You come through the other side and you look back and say, well, that was tough. Hey, when you're in the midst of the trial, I talked to the Sunday school class this past Sunday, and I told them this. I said, our problem is this. Most of the time we come into trials and this is our prayer. God, please get me out of here. Make it end. Now. Isn't that our prayer most of the time when we're in the midst of trials?
But instead, I think our prayer ought to be this. And hey, I'm not telling you I've got victory in this area. Let me tell you tonight, I still struggle with this. But you know what our prayer ought to be? God, will you teach me what you want to teach me through the midst of this trial? God, will you open up my heart and help me to receive what it is you're trying to do in my life through this trial? God, will you help my faith to be grown? Will you help me to be strengthened? Will you help me to become a more mature Christian tomorrow because of this trial that I face today? I was thinking about this evening and I just sat down and I wrote this. I said, God has an end in mind. And with God, the end always, always justifies the means. Hey, a lot of us will use that phrase a lot of times. Well, the end justifies the means. You know, I had to tell that lie because in the end, they didn't need to know. And we try to justify things, right? But hey, let me tell you, with God, the end always justifies the means. Hey, we look at it and we say, God, why do I have to go through this? But let me tell you, the end that God has for you, the way that He's going to make and to mold you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth all the trials that you face. And let me tell you, we look at this and so we see, first of all, He wants to mature us. He wants to make us a more complete Christian. But then we'll go quickly through these others. He says He wants to establish you. He wants to establish you. That means He wants to make you more steadfast in your faith as a result of this trial. Let me tell you, if you'll lean on the Lord through the midst of a trial, you'll come out the other side with a more steadfast faith. Now, it's very easy for our faith to be weakened in the midst of a trial. But if we'll trust God, if we'll allow His hand to work, we'll come out the other side with a more sure faith, a more sure foundation. That's what He talks about in the end of the verse when He says, settle you. He wants to establish a foundation so that He can continue to build on your life. And then I think about that other one, though, to strengthen. Hey, you know the trial that God's allowing in your life today, it might just be that He's strengthening you for the trial that still is to come. He's strengthening you for what lies ahead. Friend, let me just help you to understand tonight from the pages of Scripture that there's no trial that's come into your life that God can't use. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're experiencing, what you're going through. God wants to use it to your benefit. God wants to do a work in your life. The question tonight is this, will you let Him? Will you allow Him to work? Will you straighten up and say, God, I'm not going to let that happen? Or will you just say, God, teach me. God, grow me. God, strengthen me through this all, through all that's taking place in my life. And it's okay to ask why. I see that over and over in Scripture where someone asks why, but don't get upset if you don't get an answer. Don't be upset if God says, you don't need to know why, just trust me. Just trust me. Friend, will you trust God tonight with the trial that you're facing, the burden you're carrying, whatever it is tonight that you're dealing with? And hey, again, I say this, that hey, maybe tonight you say, look, I'm not really dealing with a trial. My wife and I, we went to the fellowship meeting in Lubbock yesterday and we heard one of the speakers there and he was telling the story of how that they were coming back from a meeting. There was a chair in the middle of the road and his wife was driving and she swerved to miss it. The car rolled several times and their 10-year-old child was thrown from the vehicle and died instantly. And on the way back, my wife and I were talking about it. I said, you know what, we're not facing anything like that and we never have. But we also know that we might. We know that someday that could be us. And we've got to decide now. Let me tell you, friend, if you're waiting till you're in the midst of that trial to decide how you're going to respond, to decide if you're willing to trust God, not going to happen. You've got to decide now. You've got to make up your mind, hey, I don't care what comes, I'm going to trust God. Because I know He's working it for good in my life. I know it's because He wants to do something. So, friend, tonight, will you make that decision tonight and say, God, I want to grow through trials. God, I'm willing to surrender myself unconditionally. I'm willing to resist those attacks from the devil as I'm in the midst of that trial. And then I'm willing to just trust totally in You. To have that unfailing faith that it's You that's at work in my life. And that every trial that comes my way, You want to use it for my good, for my benefit. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand tonight, have just a moment of invitation. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I can say I'm not in the midst of one of those fiery trials right now. But I know There may not be a day too far down the road that it may be me. So would you come tonight and just make a commitment? I want to grow through trials. I want God to be able to do in my life that which He desires to do, no matter what comes my way. I want to allow God to make me and mold me into what He would have me to be. Would you come tonight?